This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by the new Array Putter lineup by Adele Golf. Blending various shapes and setups with a number of familiar and fresh technologies, the Array Putters from Adele Golf support the reality that golfers have a unique putting stroke and need variety in order to get something that best suits their game. For more information on Adele's Array Putters, visit adelegolf.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week from Worldwide Golf is Mr. Scott Perry. He's a VP of Marketing Strategy over there and a fairly fresh face to THP experiences. So, Scott, welcome to Off Course.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
I wish I could say I'm as much fun as a dormy property, but I'll try and at least keep you as entertained.
All right. Sounds good to me.
So obviously welcome, but for those who are unfamiliar with you, do you want to throw a little bit of a background as to where you're coming from prior to arriving at Worldwide?
Sure. Yeah. I spent the last 10 years of my career marketing in the home furnishings industry. So I had a lot of marketing experience that came from Bob's Discount Furniture and locally in Southern California, Jerome's Furniture. So totally different industry, totally different vibe. There's some similarities, you know. It's a highly considered purchase. It's a high ticket item. It's an omni-channel retail game. To me, marketing is marketing. I can tell you that I think golf is a lot more fun than furniture. You know, it's been great. I've been here for about a year, and it was a challenging role to run the entire marketing organization here and kind of formulate a go-forward strategy for the brand and really make sure that, you know, we're finding the right customers and telling our story. So it's been a wild ride. There's a lot more fun to do, but it's so far it's going great.
That's good. And it's not like Worldwide is kind of just hanging out. There's some big things going on. We've seen some big acquisitions already that are quite fascinating. I think everyone's kind of curious because, you know, as much as you've had the connection to budget for a long time, they've always been a little bit more forum facing for us. So we've seen a lot more from them. So as we make some of these transitions, like what can golfers expect, especially those who have that really in-depth relationship that has been built with budget? What does it look like moving forward?
You know, I think it's an exciting time for that budget customer, or that customer that really connected with the budget brand. You know, budget was a fantastic place to get a great deal on golf equipment and get some good pre-owned deals. And, you know, we just kind of watched that brand evolve. It was an acquisition of Worldwide Golf, you know, a little ways ago. But one thing that kind of happened that we saw was, you know, COVID came in and anything that you had in stock basically sold. And the opportunity buys that budget golf had kind of made its living on by getting deals and buying overstock items here and there, some of those opportunities kind of dried up because COVID kind of flushed through a lot of those opportunity buys. So we saw the catalog online from budget. We had very little pre-owned product, and the deals weren't there. So the catalog started looking very similar to what we already had on Worldwide Golf, which is kind of our parent company and website, worldwidegolf.com. So we made the decision that it would probably best suit that budget customer to consolidate that, as well as three balls, into globalgolf.com, which was an acquisition we did about a year ago. So now that budget customer can go to Global Golf and you'll find the world's largest used and pre-owned golf website on the planet. You know, so that customer that was really used to getting those deals and getting that pre-owned product and now has access to the world's largest inventory. You know, we've got direct relationships with a lot of the OEMs to bring in their gear or last year's equipment. You know, we're buying, you know, tens of thousands of clubs, Titleist, Vokey, wedges, like all kinds of great stuff. You know, and they go through this real nice refurbishing process and refinishing process. You know, they do the grips and they polish everything up and they have a grading system, and it's the best deals in golf over there now. So that, that customer that was used to that experience is now getting it again on steroids. So that's the best way for me to kind of, you know, describe that transition. And that's kind of the place that Global Golf sits in the worldwide golf brand ecosystem. You know, we've got a certain amount of customer facing brands online, you know, Worldwide Golf kind of being our omni-channel presence that connects our 10 different brands and 100 plus stores around the country. And then we have Global Golf that's kind of the place to get the best used and pre-owned gear, the best deals in golf. We also have Fairway Styles, which is kind of our boutique apparel where you can get Grayson and G4 and all these hot apparel brands at fairwaystyles.com. You know, and then we also have Cool Clubs, which is like our premier fitting service. So you can kind of go there. And lastly, we also have Get Clubs, which is kind of a club rental service where they'll just, you know, ship the latest and greatest gear to your hotel room or your vacation destination for a good price, and you don't have to lug your clubs around. It's kind of like an alternative to ship sticks. Instead of shipping your own gear, hey, you may want to try out the new Ping G430 10K for 2 days when you're in Hawaii, you know, or if you're in Montana golfing or whatever. So those are our core kind of customer facing brands. And we, you know, just kind of rolled budget golf into the Global Golf to give that customer the best experience. So I hope that kind of tells a little bit of the story about our main customer facing brands. But, you know, it was part of a larger kind of setup of who we are and how we interact with our customers and give them a wide variety of products and services.
But it is interesting because there's been mentioned previously just that Worldwide is such a significant experience overall. But, you know, I saw a taste of that when I was on the West Coast. Being from Ohio, it's not as visible for me here. But then you start to talk about all the layers, you're peeling them back and talking about the different channels that you operate under. And we hear names we know and know very well, like Fairway Styles, Three Balls. You're just throwing these names off that are incredibly familiar to a lot of golfers. And it seems like this just in this massive strategy to get everything operating in an incredibly seamless way to support the everyday golfer, depending on what they're looking for. I think that's very interesting. There must be intent there. And I want to circle back to what you said about the post-COVID availability of product. I mean, with the limitations that were there and now the diminished amount of excess inventory, that there had to have been an unavoidable decision to go that route.
Absolutely. You know, market forces spoke, you know, and we reacted, and we needed to be strategic about, you know, what are different business lines, like where do they live in the ecosystem and how do we make it so there's not too much overlap between everything. You know, a lot of our growth has been through acquisition over the last 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, we have to kind of figure out how to put things in the right place to maximize the value of those acquisitions and also give the best products and services to customers, you know, and make sure we're doing the right thing by them too.
So I had a conversation last year about breaking into the used club market, which sounded like it was a little bit challenging in a lot of ways, purely on inventory, on the grading systems and being equitable to other folks that are in the same arena of product purchasing. It seemed like there was a bit of a hill to climb. And is that why, like, I look at Global Golf as a nice example. I mean, my wife has Global Golf purchase clubs in her bag. I'm very familiar with it and have always enjoyed that sort of experience. So, you know, making that decision to acquire them had to have been, I don't want to say had to, but I don't want to make any assumptions, but I assume doing that made that transition into used product way, way easier because they already had a very strong infrastructure in place. Yeah.
You're right. The infrastructure is key there. You know, having the right processes and systems, people with experience, you know, it's a production. You know, if you've ever seen like a warehouse full of golf equipment. You know, there's a whole intake system. There's a quality control things need to go through. You need to make sure, you know, there's also a big inflow of equipment from people that trade in their gear online. You know, that's a big part of our business. You know, we're a great resource for somebody who, you know, wants to just ship us their stuff and, you know, we'll go through it, but we have to kind of go through a process of verifying that what we got was what you said you were sending. You know, we got to make sure that that's good. You know, there's a whole process of making sure that everything's in good enough condition. You know, there's lots of times you have to sandblast the grooves of the irons. You know, you want to go through a polishing wheel and make things kind of look as good as possible, clean up the shafts, get rid of any sticky residue from an old sticker, put some new grips on there, you know, make sure that, you know, if they were bent or modified in any way, we kind of put them back in that kind of stock condition. You know, there's a whole process to it. It's not an easy business to get into.
Well, the other component of that that I think is a scary concept is there are plenty of folks out there who are offering used product and they have a level of expectation where, you know, I bought very good. And it's still in the wrapper. You know, the expectation has been ever increasing on what a used product looks like. And that becomes a part of reputation where if you don't meet that standard that people would expect, well, that cascades over every other product that you're attempting to sell, right?
Absolutely. You know, and we have to tell the story to the customer. You know, you're not just buying this, you know, G425 off of some guy on Craigslist, you know, and you don't know if he was, you know, hammering nails in a piece of wood with this thing or what, you know. Knowing that it comes and it goes through a specific process and you have a 90-day guarantee. Something doesn't work out, whatever, you know, it's kind of risk-free. You can go take it on your course and you can, you know, hit it. And if it's not to your liking, you can send it back. You know, there's some other programs we have too to try to, you know, ease that customer into some of the new product. We even have a program on Global Golf called U-Try, and you can, you know, put a small deposit down and then go play your local course with that brand new, you know, QI10 TaylorMade. See how it performs for you on your course, and then if everything goes according to plan, you just keep it. You know, and if you decide that you don't want it, you can send it back and you're kind of done, you know, risk free. You can try stuff out. So we're just trying to make it consumer friendly. But the process can't be underestimated, what it goes through before it gets in a box and gets shipped out to our customers. We want them to be 100% satisfied. And that 90 day guarantee is something we do across all of the worldwide companies. It's not just a Global Golf thing. If you buy something in any of our 10 local brands, Roger Dunn, Edwin Watts, Vans, Golf Mart, Uinta, like you name all the brands around the country we have, you know, that 90-day guarantee goes through everything we do. You know, giving the best customer service has been, you know, a cornerstone of our brand. And it's what we're known for is giving that good customer service and taking care of the customer and doing what's right by the customer. Is paramount to us. You know, we like to say the customer signs our paychecks, you know, not our bosses or the owners.
I had a good laugh when you mentioned all these different avenues people can go into under the umbrella, because my next question is going to be solely on your side of things as a VP of marketing strategy. It's like, how do you align everything together? How do you tell a seamless story when there are so many components, so many outward facing companies or even brick and mortars? Things look different at the front side where the consumer is looking versus what you're trying to contain from a global strategy. That has to be challenging.
It is a little challenging. You know, there are some examples out there, but I mean, we have grown through acquisition over the last 40 years. So it can be a little bit challenging, you know, especially when you're creating TV commercials and you have to make 10 different variations of those, you know, depending on who the local brand is. But the thing that's kind of interesting to me, you know, I've been here for a year and I've been into a lot of our locations. You know, you go into an Edwin Watts in Florida, you go into a Roger Dunn in Santa Ana, which if you haven't been there, you got to go there. That's like, you know, that's like golfer's paradise. It's like 70,000 square feet, and it's a fantastic experience. You go into Uinta, you go into Vans, you go into Golfer's Warehouse, any of our different locations, you know, the sign on the building is different, you know, but that vibe that you get is all the same. You know, it's golfers helping golfers. You know, we are golfers. Our employees are avid golfers. They know the local courses. They know the customers that walk in the door. And it's amazing, the whole feeling and vibe between that customer interaction with our staff is the same no matter what the sign on the store says. So it is a little bit of a challenge. You know, we've adopted an endorser type brand strategy that I launched earlier this year. So in your local market, you may be used to seeing like an Edwin Watts ad, for example. And those ads today have an endorser strategy. So you'll see Edwin Watts by Worldwide Golf. You know, we've got our new logo and we've got a catchphrase, get there. And we've got certain noises that we use. And so the endorser strategy is amplifying and supporting that local brand. But the goal is to really raise awareness and brand affinity of the parent brand, Worldwide Golf. You know, and you see that out there in the market in different retailers or travel companies like Marriott has like all kinds of different sub brands underneath them, but you always know that it's like a Marriott brand. So it's a similar thing that we're kind of doing here and just raising awareness of Worldwide Golf. You know, we've got more stores than anyone in the country and still growing. So we want to just kind of get the word out that, hey, we're here and this is what we're about. And, you know, we've got a great loyalty program that's launching. We got 90-day guarantees and we want people to know who we are above and beyond that. Hey, we're part of this great thing that's larger than just this local brand, you know, because a lot of golfers, they travel, you know, and if you live in Florida, but you're going to California to travel, it's nice to know that your local brand, Edwin Watts, there's a Roger Dunn on the West Coast and it's the same kind of store. It's the same vibe. It's the same level of customer service. Sign on the stores may be different, but it's the same company. So we just want everyone to know that, you know, it's part of something bigger and it's part of something special.
It's interesting. I think back 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, and there was this eagerness to get to those more golf-centric locations because you could get into the nicer stores with the high-quality simulators or even hitting bays. I can think of stores that had their own bunkers and things like that. It's just it's a different experience when you actually get to get engulfed in the product that you love so much. And the way you talk about some localized stores there, it's I know there's been a big conversation out there about separating from brick and mortar and a lot of online retailers really taking off. And man, I just think there's really something about getting your hands on product in a store, get a real feel for it, especially apparel, man. I think that is one of the lost arts of golf buying is getting to try it on, feel the material and not just feel the material that you like, but compare it to the stuff you don't like. Say, man, I'm so glad I don't have that. Now I really need to buy this. There's that That's component true. To it too. Yeah.
It's so. True. I think golf retail is still a very tactile experience. You know, whether it's touching and feeling the product, whether it's, you know, swinging a golf club in a simulator to see how it sound means a lot to me as a golfer. You know, I want to hear that noise and I want it to feel like a certain way in my hands. And it's not always easy to get that across online. So, you know, I feel like our brand needs to kind of serve both types of people. Some people want the convenience of online. Some people want to go inside the store. Most of our business is done inside the locations. You know, customers want expert advice from somebody who's a golfer, you know, not just some kid that's going to ring up your purchase, but somebody that's a golfer that knows the local courses, that knows you and maybe other brands you've tried in the past. And hey, have you seen the new Cobra Dark Speed? You should give this a shot, you know, even if you're, you know, a fan of another brand. And it's still very tactile, you know, and I think people want to look at other people in the eyes. They want to shake hands. They want to feel like they're making a good decision. They want to try the product. So it's part of it's a human thing and part of it is tactile. You know, you want to touch the product and feel it, you know, and there's people that flow in between there. You do your research online, then you go inside of a location, and then you may go back home later and do some more research. And, you know, you may buy that product online or go back to the store. And then there may be certain products that you'll just buy online out of convenience. You know, you need some more balls and you need a glove and you need some, you know, other products. But I'm like you, I like to touch it myself, you know, and I like to talk to people, you know, I like to ask a question of, you know, the staff inside our apparel department. Does this look good? You know, does this look good on me? You know, you want to feel the fabric, and it's hard to get that across. I mean, I remember my wife just bought some golf apparel, and it came and she was feeling the fabric, and she was like in love with how great it was and how it had this like velvety feel, even though it was a performance fabric and it was thick. And her comment was, I had never known how great this fabric was just by looking at it on the pictures. I had no idea how awesome it was. I mean, I guess that's an experience in the positive direction, but that could also go the other way, where you get something that's like, oh man, this thing's paper thin and it feels lightweight and flimsy. It's not going to wash well. So I think you kind of need to be there for both types of customers. And I think omnichannel is the way of the future. I know there are some online retailers that are doing pretty well and they've got a good following. And, you know, there's customers that like that too, but we feel like we need to be there for all types of customers, you know?
Yeah. I want to shift the conversation a little bit and ask you. So on THP, we have a large community of golfers, as you are well aware of at this point. And
very passionate too.
Yeah. And one of the things we do on there is these crazy experiences where they're hosted by some folks, maybe like a worldwide golf, maybe for one of them. And golfers go out and play a course they would normally not get to play. And once they go home, they have this thing called the THP event hangover. And I'm just curious, Scott, a couple days out of Briggs Ranch over there in Texas, do you have an event hangover from THP?
No, I don't at all. I don't at all. In fact, I'm going to go to Rams Hill tomorrow for a couple days there.
Wow. You get the flex. I love it.
Just made me want to do some more.
You know, okay.
Such a fantastic experience. You know, everyone that was there, so nice, great people, great community. You know, Josh and Jeremy were amazing hosts, and we were proud to sponsor it and be a part of it. And Trevor on my team brought some incredible swag. And then Steve Vecinio from Budget Golf was, you know, there like supporting everything. And Scott Fox, I mean, he's kind of like our ambassador there with Hackers Paradise. It was just a fantastic event. The food was good. The golf was good. The weather was ideal. You know, I haven't played Texas golf, so it was fun kind of, you know, playing a little Texas golf. They've got, you know, very thin grass and hard pack, you know, soil. So it's a different type of wedge shot, you know.
Yeah.
I'm used to getting out of fluffy California grass. So it was a little bit different for a beach boy, but man, it was a lot of fun. I had a blast.
Yeah.
No hangover.
No event hangover. Well, I can tell you there's at least a handful of them online talking about how they wish they could go back and how, you know, food doesn't taste the same anymore. And it's cool because for regular golfers, it's an opportunity to really connect with folks in the industry. And I'm wondering on your side of things, what's that like to be a sponsor of something like that and get in there and really hear from golfers who are your regular purchasers? What's that like? Is that invaluable?
It is invaluable. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's where the rubber meets the road, you know, and I kind of, that's why I like to spend time in stores too, to see customers' behavior in the store. You know, are they looking at their phone? Are they interacting with our staff? And being at an event like that and being able to hang out, have dinner, have breakfast, you know, shoot the, you know what, and, you know, play and high five and goof on each other with just real people that just love the sport. They love the game, you know, and just to see that passion. Not everyone's, you know, some people are better than others. And, you know, golf is kind of one, it's like the great equalizer. You know, if you're passionate about golf, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or, you know, what color you are or how old you are, or none of that matters. You know, it's like music almost, where it just connects us all. And I really got that feeling there, you know, people from all walks of life are there, and everyone's having a great time, having fun, having a blast. And it was, we didn't want the nights to end, you know, we're having these contests on the green and we're just making stuff up, and Scott Fox is magically making gift cards appear and asking me if it's okay if we give away the staff bag. And we just didn't want it. It was like almost 11 o'clock at night. You know, we had to get up early for breakfast and golf, and I didn't want to go to sleep. I just wanted to keep having fun. It was just great.
Right. I think a couple of guys were more passionate there about the food truck tacos, the at the turn tacos, than they were about the golf that day.
There's something magic about those tacos. Yeah. I had them 2 days in a row because I couldn't get enough of it. I don't know what seasoning they put in the steak or how they do it, but man, I mean, we have really good tacos in California. You know, we have a lot of great Mexican food, and those tacos in Texas were probably some of the best tacos I've ever had. Maybe I was just hungry, but.
Well, I'll tell you what, for those following along on who aren't familiar, we actually have experience threads that we have on THP, the community forums, where we talk with the participants all the way through the event and get sort of a sideline view with them and our sponsors who obviously had way too much fun in the evenings with all these crazy giveaways. But, you know, it's really fun to get in there and mix it up and see that interaction and get a small taste of what's going on for you guys while you're there, especially when we got guys winning, like you said, drivers and staff bags and range finders. And it's just, you know, Christmas in April, which is kind of a weird one. But yeah, I'm glad that worked out really well. And it's interesting that you said you hadn't played in Texas. Is there another place in the country you're looking to play next? Like what's the big goal for you for the next golf experience?
Well, tomorrow I'm going to have I'm going to be able to play at Rams Hill in San Diego. That's super exciting. And then I've got a tournament that I'm going to play in Las Vegas, which is a 3-day event. And that's going to be at Spanish Trails, Southern Highlands, and South Shore, 3 days in a row, one at each course. That's going to be great. And I got a lot of golf planned, man. I have a great job. I got to be honest with you. I love it. And then in June is my worst nightmare. I'm going to be playing Victoria National, which is another dormy. It's the most difficult dormy one. It's on the old mines, and it's just torture water experience. So I don't know. I'm scared of that one, man. But I'm playing it. I'm just going to bring like 24 balls and cross my fingers.
Yeah. So one of our caddies at Briggs mentioned that he's spends some of his year caddying at Vic as well. And so they've actually thought about cutting the rough a little bit shorter so you can actually find your ball when you hit into it now. So maybe it'll be a bit more gentle for you this time around.
Yeah, that way you don't have to find your ball by stepping on it.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Which caddy was that? Was that Sean?
I believe that was Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah. He seemed to be a little bit satisfied, but on his end, it makes his life easier because he doesn't have to go spending 5 minutes trolling through the rough just to find a ball when he's not even in the heather. So I suppose it's better than rattlesnakes, though.
True. Yeah, we saw a snake on the golf course when we were out there.
Did you?
Yes, we did. I got a nice video of this thing.
Oh, man. I'm glad I didn't see any when I was there. But yeah, I want to circle back a little bit on Cool Clubs because I wasn't really aware of the acquisition there and the integration into your brand. What does that look like for you guys?
Well, Cool Clubs, I think it's like the premier fitting experience. There's lots of fitting experiences out there, but the way that they do it, there's something special about it. Your viewers may want to go look at their YouTube channel. They got some great content on there. But they use state-of-the-art robots. You know, they're testing hundreds and thousands of shafts. Every single thing you can possibly imagine, you know, they do. And I truly believe it's one of the best fitting experiences you can get. You know, they fit tour players that you would know. you know, will fly in there and get you know, all their bag built out by Cool Clubs there in Scottsdale. So after the Cool Clubs acquisition, you know, we were really thinking, how do we leverage this acquisition to make us just better as a company as a whole? So there are a few markets where we're adding a Cool Clubs location inside of our store itself. So it's like a store within a store. So the very first one was in Turkey Lake in Orlando, Florida. That's up, operational, and working right now. There's another one that we'll be adding in Santa Ana that's being built out right now. That'll probably be done in the next month or two. And then, you know, we're trying to explore different ways internally. How do we use the S3 technologies, which is kind of their proprietary software system that really fits people to their clubs based on not only the club and shaft dynamics, but also, you know, swing dynamics of an individual person. How do we integrate that experience into our fitting process and our stores? So that's something that we're working on, and we're hoping to kind of have an exciting and state-of-the-art fitting experience across all of our fittings as a result of the expertise and, you know, some of the patents and systems and software that Cool Clubs has, and just make that part of what we do in our stores. So that's still being kind of figured out and rolled out. And in the meantime, we're expanding our locations through building out experiences inside of our stores of the premier fitting that Cool Clubs does.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that golfers are getting more educated, maybe not in total, but there is a fairly strong percentage of golfers who are more inclined to pay attention to their numbers prior to purchasing now, whether that's through fitting, whether that's through demo days or whatever it might be. Is there an expectation or a change in perspective at all in the worldwide collective that fitting needs to be at the forefront of everything?
I think that fitting needs to be in the forefront of everything. I absolutely believe that. I feel like we have some great fitters. We have master fitters, people that have been fitting customers for decades. And I think that more and more, as you look at, you know, something that Mark Timms told me, and Mark Timms is the founder of Cool Clubs. He was also the founder of Hot Sticks, if you guys are familiar with that, which we also own as part of the Cool Clubs acquisition. But one thing he said to me really kind of hit home, you know, the state-of-the-art equipment that we have through the OEMs right now is so good, you know, and you really wonder, like, what's it going to take my game to the next level when the equipment has just reached this, like, fantastic level of performance, and that next frontier, that next advancement, and that next game improvement is by getting fit, you know, and having the right shafts. You know, shafts are everything, you know, having the right grips that you feel comfortable with, and testing that out on a simulator. So I think our focus and trying to give the best fitting experience that we can, and a fitting experience that we feel is the best in the industry, best of breed, best practice, that's what we're going for. You know, that's what our customers want. So of course we're going to give it to them.
That's very interesting. I want to settle it back a little bit and ask you your perspective. I have a pretty good idea, but you might surprise me. What is your take for music on the golf course? Yay or nay?
You know, I've got a couple different thoughts on this.
Perfect.
So I typically like little music. It depends on where my brain is at and where my swing thoughts are. You know, if I'm in my head a little bit too much, you know, a little EDM, you know, to kind of like vibe out on is good. Maybe some Black Sabbath.
I'm going to stop you there. There's a guy listening. His name is Jadex. That's what we all call
him. Oh, there's someone listening right now?
Not currently, but he will be. Okay. His name's Dax. A lot of folks on the forum know him as the gambling degenerate that we all love. He was a little bit dialed up when we played together about 2 weeks ago, and he had started like a typical 80s hair metal style playlist. I said, I've got something for you. And we listened to EDM for the entire round just to elevate. I'm like, this is where you need to be right now. He was like, I'm just gonna go with it. It was great. I think there's truth to that. I think there's a type of music that works for everyone, with the exception of those who want nothing to do with music. And it's funny you said that straight out of the gate, because it hit home so hard.
That's funny. Well, I mean, sometimes I want to, it blurs the moment for me too much, you know, because my mind starts really getting into the jam of the music.
Okay.
And I'm like losing focus a little. Sometimes I lose focus because I'm like trying to sing along to something, or my brain's there and I'm not focused on my tempo and, you know, my shot that's coming up. And, you know, it goes both ways for me. I think it just kind of depends. And sometimes that is depending on if it's a competitive environment or if I'm with my 10-year-old little girl, you know, and we're playing 18 holes at my local course, you know, then it's Taylor Swift and I don't care. And if I'm shooting all over the place, it doesn't matter, you know? So I think it just depends on the moment. But if I'm really trying to focus and play my best, sometimes I like to be just music free.
Okay. So not rocking out to the Moana soundtrack. I get it. It's fine.
Right. Exactly.
It's interesting. So the Briggs is a good sampling because they actually have the speakers built into the cart. So it's incredibly convenient. There's usually like this, oh, did you bring your speaker? Is it charged? Usually that there's a pretty solid checklist of things to forget for here locally. But, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think what's your take on what music is respectable? Like, is there a level you're willing to tolerate, or is there a level you would be willing to play it to, or are you going to go out there and just jam out and you don't care who hears it?
Well, you know, I want to be respectful of the golfers that are out there. If no one's around, then, you know, Slayer's going to be on 10 or 11.
Yes.
And that's just awesome. How it is, you know. Okay. But if there's, you know, an older couple or something, and I'm in a, you know, I've paired up with someone, I'm not going to be disrespectful there either. So.
Okay. So does your music on course, other than like you just casual round, is it significantly different than what's in the car or what's around the house, or is it just whatever you're in the mood for?
I think it's whatever I'm in the mood for.
Okay.
But it's typically, you know, the same. It's the same. You know, I have a YouTube channel and it's full of like live rock concerts, and it's typically that genre. You know, it's rock and roll or heavy metal or something like that.
Okay. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit. Like, there's do you have like a top three concerts that you've been to of all time?
Yeah, let's see. The top three of all time. I would probably say being front row at Rush.
Nice. Okay.
Is in my top three. I brought my son when he was like 10 and we were front row, and that was fantastic. Another one would be front row to Tool. That was pretty awesome. And then another one would be another front row experience watching The Who in San Diego, you know, okay. Roger Daltrey. And that was, you know, Pete Townsend. That was incredible.
That's awesome. It's pretty cool.
Those are probably my top three.
It's pretty cool. You have a YouTube where you just take all the music there and let people enjoy it as well. Is that the goal of that?
It is. You know, part of it, I still really enjoy concerts when I film them. And I use a very high quality microphone. I use a Shure condenser microphone, and I do a lot of post edit to make sure that the sound quality is amazing. That's kind of one of my specialties. But usually when I go to concerts, I go with one of my kids, or I go with my wife or some friends. And to me, it's not only an opportunity to kind of share that moment, but it's also an opportunity for me to kind of relive that and have kind of like a historical record of concerts that I've been to. And, you know, I get a lot of great comments. You know, there's people that can't afford to go to a show, or they were sick. Or, you know, I had another person mention like, hey, I'm in the hospital right now. I couldn't make the show. And now I felt like I got to kind of see it. So some of it's kind of, you know, service oriented, and some of it's selfish because I want to like watch this and relive it over and over again, like these memories. And some of it's just kind of recording some great shows. You know, I feel like my specialty when I record shows for my YouTube channel is to capture the feeling of what it's like to actually be there, you know? And a lot of times the sound that you get when you're in the crowd is very different from the sound that goes through a mixing board. And I make sure to focus on different artists that are on stage. If there's something cool going on in the crowd, like a mosh pit or someone like really dancing and getting into it, I'm focusing in on, you know, that feeling of just being there. And I think I capture it pretty well on my channel.
Awesome. Before we wrap up today, I wanted to give you a chance to let us know if there's something coming from Worldwide or the collective that we can look forward to, what the future looks like and an opportunity for us to kind of pay attention to as we cruise into 2024. Any thoughts there?
Let's see. What can I share and what can I not share is the question.
I swear I won't delete any of it.
Okay. I think there's a lot of exciting things to look forward to. I think the biggest one would be a new loyalty program that we're going to roll out that will be the best loyalty program in golf retail, you know, and it'll pull together all of our brands, all of our different products and services, and you can earn points at Worldwide Golf and you can use them at Cool Clubs, or you can earn them at Cool Clubs and you can use them at Fairway Styles and buy some apparel. So, you know, we're kind of revamping what that looks like, and it's going to launch probably in July and August. There's a lot of work involved to kind of put all that together. That's probably the most exciting thing. And, you know, I think there's going to be some more growth opportunities for the business. And we'll just keep pushing to be as good as we can be for our customers. That's the ultimate goal.
Awesome. Well, Scott, hey, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your story, as well as the madness that is Worldwide and all the great things you guys have going on there. It's very exciting, and I hope folks enjoyed listening into this.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Have a great one.
You too. Hey, if you're playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make it count. Listen to EDM, because apparently that is the place to be. I agree with it. So does Scott. We'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.